You're listening to Drinking and Droshing, Torah with a Twist, and I'm here to introduce co-host, Rabbi Amanda Catherine Weiss.
Hi, you're listening to Drinking and Droshing, Torah with a Twist, and I'm here to introduce executive producer, Edan Baldwin.
Well, but I thought that they're listening to Drinking and Droshing, Torah with a Twist, and that I was supposed to introduce them to Master of Music, Gabe Snyder.
Well, this is all very confusing.
For this final episode, we wanted to take it back kind of to where we started, and we did want to talk a little bit about our experience in creating this podcast, a little bit about Shavuot. Don't worry, you're going to have a drink, you're going to have a rundown, it's going to be great. But we also realized that we've gained new followers along the way and new listeners, and we have loved being in conversation with you and creating Torah with you and truly engaging with Judaism in a new and exciting way. And so for those that might be new to this particular podcast, even as we're ending, we wanted to start the way we used to. And so I'm going to say, hey, I can't believe we made it to our last episode. I am officially Rabbi Amanda K. Weiss, and I am so excited to be here with all of you. And it is a pleasure to have my co-host introduce himself.
Hi, I'm Gabe Snyder. I just received my Master's of Sacred Music degree, and I'm going into my last year of cantorial school.
And of course, we would not be here were it not for this incredible person.
Hi, I'm Edan Baldwin, executive producer of the podcast. I did not get any sort of degree or ordination or anything, but just been sort of adjacent to everything going on HUC-wise.
And together, we're the crew that's brought you for the past 2.5 years, Drinking and Droshing, Torah the Twist. This last episode is going to be really meaningful for us as we run through some of our revelations, especially in time for Shavuot. And we're excited to be here with you to share some of the background information you may not have known, and also to laugh and maybe have a tear or two along the way. But really, so excited to be here with my partners in podcasting, and to share with you one last Drinking and Droshing Toward the Twist episode. Let's go.
47, 48, 49, 50. Wow, we've just counted 50 days since the beginning of Passover. That's the end of counting the Omer, and now it's time for a new holiday, Shavuot. Exodus 34, verse 22 says, "Make for yourself a festival of weeks for the first fruits of the wheat harvest, a festival of the turn of the year." So really, this is just an agricultural thing. No theological meanings here. Just kidding. Not only are we celebrating the wheat harvest, but the revelation of Torah at Sinai, where God gave us the Torah and we, in turn, accepted it. Back in Temple times, Shavuot was one of the three pilgrimage festivals, along with Sukkot and Passover, where the people would bring sacrifices to the temple. Today, we still observe this harvest festival in some fun ways. Shavuot is thought to be like the wedding anniversary between God and the Jewish people, with the Torah as the ketubah, the traditional marriage contract. There are even some communities that read interpretive poetry written as a ketubah. What else might we read? Well, the Book of Ruth. Why? Well, two big reasons. First, more boringly, the events of the book take place during the wheat harvest. Second, though, is that Ruth literally takes on and accepts a place in our people. You see, Ruth wasn't born Jewish, but a Moabite. She married a Judean, but he died without them ever having children. According to Judean law, she could and maybe should have gone back to her own people. But she says to her mother-in-law Naomi, also a widow, "No thanks, I'm stick with you. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." That declaration of loyalty and theology is very much akin to that of the Israelites at Sinai. We see ourselves in Ruth, accepting her place in the covenant. Across denominations, synagogues will often put certain coming-of-age ceremonies on Shavuot, with young adults accepting their own responsibility in the covenant. Other fun traditions? Cheese! Why? Reasons! Anything else? Yes! Let's stay up all night and study! Fun! Any decorations? Absolutely! Greenery and flowers everywhere! In fact, Persian Jews don't even call this holiday Shavuot, but instead the Festival of Flowers. Neat! There's a lot more to say about Shavuot, but I hope this distilled rundown gave you a good taste. And that's Chag Shavuot.
I love the fact that there are focuses on flowers when at Shavuot, a lot of time there's focuses on fruit. And did you know that strawberries are not actually a fruit, but a flower?
Really? That's not a thing I knew.
Yep. So for your favorite book, Harya Shahav Toot, The Lion Who Loves Strawberries, just a reminder that he loved flowers.
Nice. To explain that joke to people who don't know the excellent children's book, Harya Shahav Toot, when Amanda and I were on our year in Israel back in 2018, 2019, when we first met, I was given an assignment in my Hebrew class to read an Israeli children's book and write a book report on it. And I did. And that book was my favorite picture book of all time, Harya Shahav Toot, which is all about a lion who loves strawberries. Maybe I'll read that book to you another time. Idan, what are your thoughts on Shavuot?
Thank you for asking, Gabe. I was sitting waiting for you to ask me. I didn't want to interrupt. My personal favorite part of Shavuot is the dairy, specifically, and you didn't mention this explicitly, but very commonly people eat lots of cheesecake. I think that's the least boring part of Shavuot.
Yeah. Do you know why cheese and cheesecake are associated with Shavuot? Because there are a few reasons, and I think they're all hysterical.
I'm excited to hear them. I know nothing about this.
Okay, so there's a few reasons. So first, there's the gematria of the Hebrew word chalav, which means milk. So gematria is this system where each letter of the Hebrew alphabet is given a number. So the gematria of the word chalav, the letters add up to the number 40, which is corresponding to the 40 days and 40 nights that Moses spent on Mount Sinai. So that's reason the first. Reason the second, which I think is probably my favorite answer, is that in Psalm 68, Mount Sinai is called Har Gavnunim, which is like a mountain of peaks of some in some. Yeah. Which means mountain of peaks, but which some commentators relate to the Hebrew word gevina, which means cheese. And also, because I love a good hapax legomenon, gevina only appears once in the entire Hebrew Bible, and it is in the book of Job.
I can't help but notice whenever we go on for a section, and it has to do with you and Idan, it revolves around cheese or dairy in some way.
Isn't that interesting?
It is.
And I could keep talking about this if we'd like to. You know, we can talk about how we keep talking.
So when we talked about creating this particular episode, we talked about sharing some of our revelations, meaning we would talk about some of the behind the scenes things. We might laugh, we might share some surprises or bloopers or silly things that happened in the early days or the nowadays. That includes some questions that we might ask each other and share some answers to. You're going to get to hear Idan speak a lot today. We're always excited about that. Idan is super thrilled about it too, we can tell. And really, I wanted to start off by asking my partners in podcasting, are there any funny or memorable moments from the early days of this podcast that you are holding to or that you remember today?
I think when we first started the podcast, we thought, hey, this is something we all have time for. And so all three of us were like, yeah, we have time for this. So we started the podcast and quickly realized that we were all so busy and we made it work, but like we very much did not just have like a clear-cut time for this to happen. And it's not just the time it takes to record the episode. There's the logistics involved of finding guests and editing and listening to the edited version and giving notes. And there's a lot of things that go, a lot of moving parts to make the podcast happen. And yeah, we just, the first school year of this happening, and this led to us outsourcing the editing. But I started out as the editor as well. Yeah. One of the things that initially was so clear about us not having time was that Gabe and Amanda were in school. I was doing work, making videos for their school on a weekly basis. And I got to the point where I was like not having weekends off. And I was like, we need to find somebody to help out with this. And that's kind of something I remember, but things worked out and we were able to work out logistics, and it was tough at times, but I think overall it's been a valuable experience.
One of the things I remember so vividly from when we first started was we had some conversations before we released the first episode about like what this podcast was going to be, what the format was going to be, how we were going to choose our guests. And for a while, we kind of waned on it in the last season and a half-ish. But we had our, you know, guest Q&A people, our guests who were there to ask the primary guest their own questions, which was a cool thing. And so I remember these really extended conversations, not only about what guest we were going to bring on, and not only about how we were going to pair people with a Torah portion, but how we were going to pair that person and that Torah portion with another person. Very rarely did our primary guest and the Q&A guest know each other before the podcast. It was often kind of Amanda shidduching people together with similar interests. And it was a really cool moment when we first realized, like, wow, this actually works really well, not just as a, like, you know, content creation mechanism, but the connections we're making between people on a professional level, on, you know, just a social level, like people, you know, becoming friends over the podcast. You know, I've certainly met a lot of people on this podcast as a host that, you know, I don't think I would have met so many of these people otherwise. So really, as a networking thing, it's been pretty amazing from the start. And I don't think I really expected that at the beginning.
I think for me, I love the fact that for a really, like, a long time, I think for most of season one, Idan had special blooper files for each episode, which he consistently threatened that he would put on the air of us, like, cursing, or not that we would ever curse, family-friendly show, but of us making a mistake or us saying something silly, or the number of times that Gabe would just randomly break into a song bite. It happened a lot. And so I think, like, those things were always funny for me. I think for me, a really meaningful piece in the beginning was that Gabe, Don, and I used to have preliminary interviews with people before they came on the show to talk about, like, how they would best fit. And I don't know if you guys remember, but we would do these, like, half an hour meetings with guests together, and we would team up. And those would be really, really powerful and special. And that's how we would figure out how to best pair people to their parsha. And that was fun. I mean, like, all of it has been kind of a fun experience and a fun different way to go about doing this. But that was a good learning experience and a good way to really work on that resource location.
I can't help but think, and people have said this to me, listeners of the podcast have said to me, you know, I learned so much Torah from this podcast. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, I have read more Torah in the last 2.5 years than I have in, like, my entire life combined. You know, really reading the Torah portion every week and, like, trying to distill it into, you know, a mildly irreverent summary that still gets points across, that still, you know, tells enough of the story that we can, you know, build off of it in a conversation. I've learned so much Torah through this podcast. And I know we talk about, like, each person bringing, each guest bringing their own Torah onto the show. And yes, I'm absolutely learning all of that. But just on, like, the most basic level, the amount of text I've learned from this podcast is really incredible. I'm wondering, Amanda, is there any one text or one parsha that sticks out to you as like, wow, I did not really analyze this before. Like, I never thought about this piece of text or this parsha in this way. Like, is there one piece of text that really sticks out to you?
So I think the first time that happened for me, it was when we recorded Korach, that I was like, oh my goodness, this connects to Parshat Shmini, and is Moses a premeditated murderer? And really, you know, like, is this a problem? Because he basically tells these people to do the same thing that killed his nephews in a parsha that happened earlier, you know, in Leviticus. And so I remember being like, oh my goodness. And the only reason that I knew that was because we had gone through these portions so carefully and so, you know, thoroughly. So I'd say for me, that was a big one that jumped out at me. But then there have also been times sometimes where I'm looking at a portion and I'm like, wait a minute, didn't we hear this here? And I think part of the reason that I have those connections in my head is because we spent so much time talking about them.
Okay, so I have a question for you guys, and this is totally something I came up with myself. You know, no outside sources were involved in the coming up with this question. If our podcast were to have a theme song and not one that I wrote, you know, for our stings and our intro outro music, what would it be? And if we even have to give a why, because it'd be pretty obvious, but yeah.
This has to be answered by Gabe Snyder.
I think the only correct answer is the Drinking and Droshing theme song, lovingly written by Joe Buchanan, who is one of our like first guests. He was amazing. And it was before we had really gotten started. And certainly before I was really confident and like felt like we kind of had our rhythm going, before I felt like I really understood what this was. He came on and like had already written this whole theme song that was just A, fantastic, and B, made us all laugh. But the fact that he had taken the time to do that, it woke me up in a sense of, you know, this is a thing that, you know, it's not just important to us. It's something that other people are building on and listening to and working from. Then that was only our first season. So like it was such a validating moment, but also kind of a like wake up for me.
Yeah, and I love that you asked the question about the theme song, which I think any of us could have answered really quickly. Another one that I love, and by the way, for those listening, I 100% took these questions off ChatGPT. I thought they were fun and I thought that they made us laugh. And so they've been entertaining to ask. But friends, are there any recurring inside jokes or running gags that your long-term listeners would instantly recognize?
30-second rundown.
It's not going to be 30 seconds. Also, mighty hand, outstretched arm, heavy pour, I think is pretty phenomenal.
I've internalized that as being like actual text, but I know it's not.
Oh, I 100% said it at the Passover Seder this year unintentionally. It just like fell out of my face.
I think our best one or my favorite one has been that the Prince of Egypt is a documentary.
Hey, I tried to put that into my thesis. For those of you who don't know, I'm working on my cantorial thesis right now. Terrible working title. Is the pedagogical utility of artistic midrash and the Prince of Egypt. Please let me know if you have a better title. I wanted to, and Amanda suggested this, based on the Prince of Egypt being, you know, our favorite documentary, I wanted to call it a new documentary hypothesis. Yeah, that was Amanda's joke, but my advisor said that that would take too much explanation to be funny to most people. So thank you for that edit. And also, in my heart, my thesis will absolutely still be titled A New Documentary Hypothesis, The Prince of Egypt.
I'm going to add one more. Interestingly, I'm going to first preface by saying that I don't think any of our guests would know about this joke. because this is something we've always said about sort of behind the scenes a lot. But we'll give a little inside scoop for our listeners. Whenever we have a guest on, or a guest or guests on, we go through a bit of like a tech prep scenario. And every time, about 9 out of every 10 guests has a normal recording setup, normal relative to what we do. And I give the same instructions every time on how they should set it up and how they should save their file at the end. And Gabe and Amanda have heard me recite these things after every single episode for 2.5 years. And it's just like, go to file, export, export as WAV. Now I was going to ask you where you want to save it. Pick a place, give it a name. It doesn't matter. Amanda's reciting this. I don't know if she's mouthing it. But call it whatever you like, put it wherever you want, but just take a mental note where you're putting it and what you're calling it so that you can find it in a few seconds. And then you push the OK button, and then it'll ask for more info that doesn't matter. There's no artist or album. You could press OK again, then the line will go, it'll export. And so, yeah, they've heard me recite that exact thing over and over again to the point where if I missed an episode, they knew exactly what to say. Yeah. And Amanda's nodding because, like, yes, of course. How could they forget? I've said it so many times.
The only other thing that I'm going to add that doesn't have to do with the recording but does have to do with Ejon is for our listeners that may not know, Ejon is actually the guitar player behind our theme song and all of our sings. Gabe does not know what any of our sings are and could not pick our theme song out of a lineup. And so anytime we record, Gabe puts in placement sings. We'll say the sing goes here in between breaks, and Gabe will randomly come up with a tune, a melody, anything that sounds like.
Do, 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 do.
And that's been an entertaining piece for us for a long time, which we love.
Do, 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 do.
I will even add to that. To say that Gabe did that this episode after our opening section, and I made a note to our editor, Mike, that he should use that as the sting. And Gabe and Amanda didn't know that I made that note. But you guys will have heard one of those from Gabe, and now you're knowing why.
Wow. So meta. Loving it. Kind of on the, you know, unexpected there. What's the most unexpected or funny reaction that you've received either from like a listener who's talked to you about the podcast or from somebody who's come on the podcast? Like, we've had some surprising interactions with some guests, not negative at all. But I've definitely been surprised both on and off the Zoom room. Yeah. What's your most unexpected or funny moment that you've had in relation to drinking and joshing?
I'm sure I'll think of a moment more specifically. I say I'm sure. I very well might not. but what I want to say is that something that sticks out as like a recurring thing is I say something that I think is funny and comes off as a slightly off color. And Gabe will just be so surprised that I said something like that. And you guys can't see me listening to this, but he'll just eyes wide, cover his mouth and just go, you know, and seeing him do that on Zoom anytime immediately makes me be like, was that not okay to say? And it happens relatively often.
I want to give a shout out actually to one of our season one guests as well, who said something that Gabe then incorporated into like a lot of his tour rundowns, which is Lisa Firestein, who worked for Anchor and Spotify and gave us a lot of advice when we got started. She was actually the first person who made a comment about, spoiler alert, death. The punishment is death. And that was in season one. And it, like, we were cracking up, crying, laughing. And, like, for the rest of our time on the podcast, I guess, from then on, anytime we were talking about random spoilers or anything, one of us would look at the other two and be like, oh, it's okay, guys. Spoiler alert. Death. It's death. And so I think that it was just a very, very funny piece. I think in terms of if there's anything else that was kind of shocking or outrageous or like funny, I think some of my favorite things to do is listen to people do our what we call bookends, which are the beginning and ending moments of the podcast. The hi, I'm blank, and you're listening to Jerky and Joshing Toward the Twist. And there have been some very, very funny moments that have come out of those that have cracked us up. And we've been really appreciative for those.
I think we could do an entire episode or an entire like retrospective made just of the bookends are so good and so funny. And it's always the thing with which the guests have the hardest time. Like we say jokingly to them at the beginning when we're giving them all the directions, you know, this is in the email. We tell them in advance this is going to happen. And we say this is going to be the hardest part of the entire recording is coming up with something funny to say or coming up with something interesting or, you know, random. And A, it's always interesting to see what people come up with. But what's been really fun is watching more often than not, because I don't think of them very often. But very often, Amanda and Edan will give suggestions for what the bookends could be. And it's very funny to not only watch the guest, you know, kind of in their head go through, but also funny to watch the guest bounce ideas off of Amanda, bouncing ideas off of Edan, bouncing it like all of the ideas bouncing between the three of them is always very fun for me. Especially as somebody who does not come up with the ideas, it's fun to just sit back and listen to it. It's always fun.
If you could invite any famous Jewish celebrity or personality to be a guest on the podcast, who would it be and why? We had a few celebrities that we've talked about for a while, and y'all can give yours. And I'll say that mine was Yid Life Crisis. And I reached out to them and they did respond. It was something along the lines of, not something we could do, but sounds great. Good luck. And it was really early on. I just filled out their contact us form on their website.
As many of you know, my favorite TV show of all time is The West Wing. It is the best TV show ever made, much like how The Prince of Egypt is the best documentary ever made. And from The West Wing, and, you know, everything he's done subsequently, I really wanted to get Richard Schiff on the podcast. He was my top tier goal guest. Never happened, but, you know, maybe someday. And Mr. Schiff, if you're listening, I love you very much. And I wish we could have, you know, made that connection.
I will say we did have a connection and we did try. Just didn't necessarily pan out. There were a couple that we went for. I'm just thinking, we went for Mandy Patinkin. We went for Mayim Bialik. We went for Tiffany Haddish and we got a response. We went for Rachel Bloom and we got a response. All of which were basically like, we were still like really new and like we went for it, right? Cause you got to shoot your shot.
Rachel Bloom would have been great. Especially imagine.
Absolutely. And we thought that might happen, but it didn't, which is okay. And we wish her the best in all her endeavors. I think for me also, like, I would have absolutely loved to have Mel Brooks on the show because a lot of my childhood revolved around like long car trips listening to the 2000-year-old man CDs. And so those were really special to me. And when I thought about like Jewish humor and people have had big influences on Judaism, for me, like those were really special. And so those were some that we had reached out to, we had tried to, and I think those were some dreams for us. We did shoot our shots with like everybody that we wanted to or dreamt of. Like we actually pulled up the courage and made an effort and reached out to. We just weren't necessarily successful for every pitch that we put out there.
I will say that to our credit and to the credit of the guests we've had on the show, many of them are sort of celebrities in, you know, their circles as well as, you know, to us. I mean, like we mentioned Joe Buchanan, like the coolest person ever and like truly a superstar and truly a mensch and like, we've had so many guests like that, and that's, I think, really, really cool.
Absolutely. I wondered, and this was, I think, maybe one of the last questions I'll be able to ask maybe before we head to our Midrashic Mixology section. Have we ever received any unusual or interesting fan mail or messages from listeners that made us go, wow, we've really made an impact?
You guys could add more concrete examples. My first thought, though, is just the Plotkins and any interaction with them. They're just so invested. And it's been so sweet. How invested and involved they've been. Amanda puts in the Zoom chat hashtag Team Plotkin. We love them. They've been on the podcast multiple times. And
I think one of the amazing things about the Plotkins is that not only have they, you know, been back on the podcast multiple times, but even in between episodes that they've been on, they've been consistently listening. They've been consistently providing us feedback or behind the scenes support, helping us find and connect with people. And also just like giving us feedback and giving us, you know, some praise every now and then is always nice. You know, I remember when Amanda and I got brunch with the Plotkins was a big highlight for me. Up in Michigan, because, you know, when in Michigan, you go meet the Plotkins.
I think for me, there are a couple of things that come to mind that were really surprising and meaningful to us. We have an episode very early on, I think it's episode number 9, Vayechi, with Jay DeBrow and Coach Frazier and Calix Jacobson, that really focused on Trans Torah. And we found out that there was a class at Vanderbilt that was using our episode as a learning tool, you know, to teach university students. And that was really like incredibly shocking, but in a good way, right? Like, you know, we were like, whoa. I think when we found out that people were really using the drink recipes to do a Shabbat ritual every week, that was super meaningful to us. I'm not sure we thought that was what was going to happen. We have had requests for Gabe to keep our drinks up to date. Sorry, fam. But they've been fun, and people listen to episodes and write them down, and that's been nice. And our website will be updated eventually. But it's that, I think, Gabe, that was like a really meaningful moment for you too, right? When we got that email saying that people were making them every week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've had congregants come up to me at multiple student pulpits saying like, hey, this is a thing we do on Fridays. We listen to the episode and we, you know, go to the liquor store and buy what we need. it's really amazing to, you know, hear that people have taken this thing that for us was like fun, certainly, like maybe a little like kitschy or shticky, but like wasn't necessarily something that I ever expected anybody to, you know, take seriously. And it's been not only something that people have taken on, but has really, you know, according to them, like added some meaning into their, you know, Shabbat practice, even if that looks like listening to a podcast and making a drink. That's awesome that we were able to have that impact. You know, I laugh about the Midrashic mixology constantly because I am not a bartender. I have no training as a bartender. I've never worked as a bartender. Amanda makes fun of me because she bought me a bartending class online course that I never did. But it's one of those things that like I just do because this is a fun thing. I know what I like to drink. And yeah, I'm going to just make drinks that are tasty and fun. And people have responded to it with like such joy. And it's just wonderful to hear that people, you know, find joy in this thing that originally we thought of as like pretty silly, but the fact that it's actually become really meaningful is amazing. I will say that like congregants have absolutely come up to me and said, you know, that they listen to my podcast. And that's been crazy. I think the craziest moment though was when the rabbi referenced something that Amanda had said in the podcast at a bar mitzvah without telling me that that was going to happen first. So that was fun. Rabbi Ari Goldstein, who joined us this who joined us this season for one episode, is my supervisor, is my mentor at Temple Beth Shalom in Arnold, Maryland. And he's been so supportive of the podcast, but also will bring it up to congregants and say, hey, here's a thing that, you know, the cantor does. And that's always been like really validating that this is, you know, not just a fun thing that we do, but this is a valuable learning tool for us and also is part of our work as, you know, clergy or pseudo clergy or student clergy. This is something we do that helps us learn and also hopefully brings meaning to our congregants or to, you know, others.
I think the last thing that I would probably add in there is we've heard from rabbinic students, cantorial students, and clergy that they've thought about Torah in a new way from how they had thought about it before, what they learned at school, and that was meaningful to us. And that one of our goals was to challenge the conception of I'm not Jewish enough to blank, and that we've been able to really uplift diverse ways of doing Jewish. And people have said to us, like, I never thought I'd be able to do a podcast like this before. And it was really meaningful that my voice was heard. And that, yeah, our guests have really all seemed to enjoy the experience and find it meaningful.
I do really enjoy, you know, looking back on it, the number of guests who, when we first approached them, said, oh, I'm not qualified to talk about Torah. Like, that's not, I'm not a rabbi. I'm not a scholar. I haven't studied Torah, you know, intensively since day school or since Sunday school or since, you know, my bar mitzvah or whatever. And yet every single one of those guests left really understanding that, you know, their Torah was also significant and was also something that, you know, was worth bringing, was worth giving a platform to. And I really hope that to all of our guests and to all of our listeners that that's really understood, that philosophy that everybody has something to bring to the table. I really hope that that philosophy has come through over the last 2.5 years. This week, for our final Midrashic mixology, we are so proud to present Torah with a Twist. First off, we're going to need a 1-inch piece of vanilla bean sliced down the middle, showing that white interior and black exterior all at once. After all, the Torah is said to be like black fire on white fire. Add that to a mixing glass with a small piece of orange rind, because this Torah belongs to everyone. Add in a 1/4 ounce of simple syrup for the sweetness of Torah and muddle all of that together. If nothing else on this podcast, we've learned that Torah certainly has its bitter moments, so add in 2 dashes of orange bitters. Shavuot is the festival of grain harvest, so it wouldn't feel right not to have some whiskey in there. Let's go with 2 ounces of bourbon. For a non-alcoholic Torah with a Twist, use 2 ounces of chilled green tea for all of that Shavuot greenery. Stir it up with ice to get it nice and chilled, and then strain over fresh ice in a rocks glass. For that titular twist, take a piece of orange rind and pinch it over the top of your glass, releasing those oils, and drop it in. It's a classic old-fashioned, but with something a little different, familiar, comforting, and yet still new enough to pique your interest. So may Torah be for all of us, our familiar, comforting, ancient tradition, with something new brought to the table. One might even call it the revelation experience in a glass. And that's our Torah with a Twist. L'chaim.
L'chaim. Thank you. Orange bitters plus vanilla. Love it. I love orange and vanilla. Yeah.
It sounds so good. Yeah. You know, it's like creamsicle. Let's go. As you know, love an old fashioned, so I feel very called in with this drink, and it was really cute. I loved it. Yeah. So for people that don't know, most of the time I do actually know the name of the drink, and today Gabe was very, very like serious that I should not know it until our recording. And so this is a real reaction you're getting, which is to say, like, that was really cute, Gabe, and I liked it a lot. Good job. Attaboy, Gabe.
Thanks. Do-do-do!
So for those that don't know, we generally have always had a cue number three when we send guiding questions. This was the third guiding question that we always asked, and it used to always be Gabe's question, and sometimes he let me ask it. But the question that Gabe used to always ask was, if you had one message or one thing that you really wanted our listeners to know, what would that message be? What would you want them to walk away with knowing or feeling or doing? And we don't really ask ourselves that question a lot. And so as we've been talking about revelations today, things that we are reflecting on, and I would also argue revealing to you, our listeners, in this last episode, we wanted to ask each other, so I'll say Gabe, Idan, and Amanda, if you had one message that you really wanted to reveal to our listeners, to our fans and our friends, what would that message be? Gabe, we'll start with you.
I've said this a couple of times on the show that this is like my teaching philosophy. This is how I run a classroom. And it's something I pulled from the Haggadah. It's something that I grew up hearing every year at the Seder. And both all of the work I've done teaching or leading in the last 5 years while I've been at HUC, and all of the work we've done in this 2.5 years of this podcast, that philosophy of teaching has really only grown stronger. And that is this: you are free to ask, you are free to question, you are free to learn the answers of tradition, free to create answers of your own. I hope that that's something that we've really adhered to, and that's something that we've shown throughout these last few seasons of this podcast, is that this Torah really does belong to all of us, that we are free to wrestle with it and to ask questions of it, to ask questions of our teachers and of our students, and, you know, that we are also free to create our own answers, that we bring ourselves to Torah as much as Torah is brought to us. So that's my answer. You are free to ask, free to question, free to learn the answers of tradition, free to create answers of your own.
Take a break. No, I'm just kidding. I did that to make Gabe laugh while he was drinking a Coke. Find something you're really passionate about and, like, chase it, you know, spend the time you have to doing that. And, you know, obviously, like, I was joking about taking a break, but that's also really important. But, you know, if sometimes, you know, the only time you have to spend on something you're passionate about is your break time, and while there's a balance to be made there, if it's something you enjoy doing, then maybe that is break time. For me, you know, I'll spend my free time playing video games, but then for 3 weeks, I will play like no video games because all my free time is spent working on like one project. And I know that if I stop working on it, I'm going to never finish it. But I'm also really enjoying like just, you know, building a thing. And like I spent the last month building this little website thingy for myself, and it's done now. But I didn't like have any real free time where I was doing nothing because I was spending all that time doing that. But it was really fun, and it was really rewarding. Long way of saying, that's been the podcast for us. So, you know, find what you're passionate about and chase it.
I think for me, aside from the fact that remember to do things with people that you love, and I think, again, like Idan just said, that would be a huge part of this podcast. I've done it with two people that I love so much, immensely, truly, that I could never have done this on my own. And so having done it with Idan and Gabe was the best gift in the whole world. I would also say make connections with people. And a lot of that comes in the form of asking the right questions. But when somebody answers you, follow up with another question. Like, be curious. Ask questions. and be engaged in the answers, and you will be surprised at how quickly and deeply those relationships form. And I think that's been a big piece for us too, of the way that you get to take ownership of your Judaism in your own terms and in your own time is to build your own relationship to it. And I'm really proud of the relationships that we've built, not only with each other, which I think are really strong, but with the outside world and with our listeners and with this crazy thing we call Judaism and Torah, and that it's always changing and it's always available. And there's always a question that, you know, might be seeking an answer, but might not always find one. And I think that's an important message that I would want to put out there. So I guess relationships and questions are my bread and butter, along with connections and communication, right? Good communication. And so, yeah, we always said that this was our closing cues and a thank you section. And so I think each of us is going to take an opportunity to say thank you, maybe to a couple of people or lots of people, but just giving ourselves the opportunity to say some thank yous. So, Idan, I'm actually going to have you start. Any thank yous that you want to share as we come to an end on this episode?
Any thank yous? First off, I thank my wife, Agnes Cantor, officially Cantor, my Cantor, Agnes Beryl Waldman. She's dealt with us recording on almost every single Tuesday night for the last 2.5 years. It's a lot. She's probably taken the brunt of like of the time, and of course I obviously have to thank Amanda and Gabe for, you know, asking me to do this. It's been a wild, interesting 2.5 years for sure. Oh, and every guest we ever had, obviously, you know, pretty cool, especially Joe Buchanan for writing the song.
Gabe,
yeah, I mean, definitely an immense debt of gratitude to my family, who, you know, when we started this podcast, I was back living with my parents and my younger brother, and they put up with this shenanigans for a while until I moved back to Brooklyn with Manda. So definitely, I want to thank my family. You know, I think I do, and I know we already talked about them a while, but I think we need to give a shout out to some of our biggest fans and supporters, which would include the Plotkins, who, you know, for a while we just joked that they were my biggest fan. But also, there were times when we definitely needed some cheerleading and needed some reminding of like what this was for. And whether it was the Plotkins, whether it was my girlfriend Lindsay, who listens religiously, whether it some classmates at HUC who listen. You know, it's really amazing to have those people in your corner. So the Plotkins, my family, Lindsay, Andrew Goodman, Becky J, Becky Mann, really just anybody named Becky. Yeah. Any clergy named Becky. We'll limit it a little bit. What about you, Amanda? Where your thank yous lie?
I have so many, to be totally honest. A lot of our guests came through connections, to all of our friends who came on, to all of our guests who came on, to all of our Q&A guests who came on. So huge thank you to them. I want to give a huge thank you to Idan, who took really the full brunt of editing in our first season. And then when we branched out, took on the supervision of editors. And so huge thank you to Mie and to Kate and to Mike and to Andrew, who have edited episodes. And they take a lot of time to edit. And I don't want to undercut that. You know, when Idan was talking about in the beginning of this episode, how much time this took. This took longer than we ever thought it would. And so we learned something in doing the podcast and the episodes. I also want to thank the people who reached out to us to come on to the podcast. And that was a huge thing. And that was a good shift for us to know that that was happening. I want to thank my family. I want to thank my supervisors. And I have to say, we have to thank BYs at HGC, the BYs Fellowship, who gave us the seed money to begin with. JDC and Twine, who gave us some grant money, Men of Reform Judaism, who has supported us year after year after year with their grants, every donor who really helped us make it to where we are now and who believed in us. I'm so appreciative of everyone who listened in and got us to where we are. And a special shout out, of course, to Wendy Berylson, who finally got us Wyoming, because that was a journey. But I have to say, as I said before, my biggest thanks truly, truly come from Gabe and Edan, and how much I love being in the same space with the two of you and how much I laugh when we're together. And so I will say it is definitely hard to kind of have the episode conclude like this, but I'm glad that it's ending on an attitude of gratitude, and thank you so much to all of our listeners for coming with us along this journey and being here with us as we've come through it. I will say it's been a pleasure and a blessing, and we hope that we have lifted your spirits as much as you've lifted ours, and we hope that wherever you go from here, it will be a blessing, and know that you can always come to our website and use us as a resource, and we are available. We are reachable. You can find us, and we will be in contact, and each of us will continuously raise a glass to each of you and always wish you the best and say L'chaim.
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 Drinking and drushing, sloshed on mid-rushing, with Amanda and Gabe and Edan. They talk to their guest and the portionist and whatever else comes along. Raise our glasses up and our spirits high, you and I. We're drinking and drushing, sloshed on mid-rushing, with Amanda and Gabe and Edan.